All right, ladies and gentlemen around the Delaware Valley, welcome to the HealthBridge Highlight Hour. We've got a fantastic broadcast. We're sponsored by HealthBridge Chiropractic. Matt Marcus is our co-host. We've got two fantastic guests. Brent Zellick will be joining us and Sam Pond as well. Matt, how are you today, sir?
Good, Joe. Good to see you. Thanks for doing this.
It's great to be here. It's our pleasure. We're going to have an outstanding broadcast. Some of the things we're going to talk about, we're going to talk about Philadelphia. We're going to talk about making a difference, impacting the lives of our communities, and also how Philadelphia has impacted all the individuals on this broadcast. So without further ado, first of all, Brent Zellick, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great.
It's great to have you on the great to have you on the broadcast. We're going to Sam Pond, how are you, sir?
I'm well. What's your name again?
You got some problems here already, Brent.
Joe, it's always good to be on radio with you, and I'm glad you brought your better half and Joe Krause. So yeah. It's good to be here with Matt and Brent, that's for sure.
Well, it's great to have everybody here, and certainly Joe Krause is producing it. But having said that, we're going to talk about – we're going to start the broadcast off. The three individuals on this program have had a lot of success in Philadelphia. And, each one of you has a story. And, of course, we're going to touch on a couple of those things because it's been a big part of your successes. Brent, I'm going to start off with you, if you will. Talk about, you played for the Eagles for 11 years. Talk about when you first got to Philadelphia, your expectations, because as a city, especially our Eagles fans, which we know and love, if you're coming here for the first time, it can be a little bit of a shock. But talk about your expectations, and then talk about what a big impact it's had on your life.
Yeah, I think I've said this many times, but I grew up in Cincinnati, and I didn't grow up a Bengals fan. I ended up growing up a Steelers fan because back when I was growing up, the Bengals weren't very good. Mm-hmm. But when I would go to the Bengals games, when the Bengals were bad, none of the fans would show up at the games. It was just a different type of a city. And, for me personally, I love football. Like, my dream when I was 2 years old was to play in the NFL. when I was drafted to Philadelphia, I really knew nothing about the city. And then I got here and I was like, oh, wow. This is different. These fans are different. The way they approach everything is just totally different. They're way more passionate than any fan I've ever been around. And so, for a guy that loves the game of football and then to come to a city where the fans love the football just as much, I mean, I couldn't have got drafted to a better place, in my opinion. Meeting the fans, being able to run out of that tunnel at the link. I mean, that was a dream come true. And, I never thought it would be Philadelphia, never knew much about Philadelphia, but I fallen in love with Philadelphia because of that. And, I've made it my home.
No question. The Philadelphia Eagles are a part of the fabric of the city. And no, you mentioned, obviously, it's different in other cities, but here, no matter what, there are still people with season tickets who've had them their whole life, whose parents have had them, whose grandparents. I'm going to bring in Sam Pond. Sam, obviously, your success, initially occurred in Philadelphia. And, of course, you've branched out across the country, but you're a Philly guy. You're the official, one of the official sponsors of the Philadelphia Eagles. Palm the Hockey's a part of the fabric of the city. Talk about, we talk about it a lot. You're a neighborhood guy. How much a part of your success that is?
Oh, it's funny you should say this because ironically, late afternoon, I went over to John Dooley's office, which we share over in New Jersey. And John is still a card carrying pile driver. From Port Richmond, he was talking about going into my father-in-law's bar at Belgrade and Ann. And, we were talking about, we were there with a client who was also a seam fitter who was injured. But talking about just around the table about our experiences growing up in a Philadelphia neighborhood. And I think Brent is experiencing that in regard to what Philly fans bring. And we bring it, you know, in whatever we do in our lives. And, you know, having the great honor and being fortunate enough to go to Drexel University, obviously a Philly school, Temple Law, Philly school, working at Tasty Cake, Philadelphia Institution, working at Schmidt's Brewery back in the day was a Philadelphia beer, working at the Philadelphia Inquirer for 9 years. All these things that resonate with us and get into our DNA and make up our character. Our character about no nonsense, clear communication about how we feel about things, about loyalty, about trust, about I got your back. And when you're not, and you can go back and look at all the great coaches and, you know, Brent's experience that I haven't at that level, but having clear communication about expectations, about falling, not coming up short, wanting to win, and putting the emphasis on about winning. You know, we and John Dooley talked about last night about the Blue Horizon, and all three of us at that table had fought at Henley's or the Cambridge gym or whatever else. That idea of humility, respect, that comes out of the Philadelphia boxing gyms. All those things make up who we are, you know, and it's unique. And we know people that have traveled around the world, and we all have traveled to different places, but we all seem to come back here, I think, to its authenticity.
And it's interesting because Brent was a lifetime player here, which is rare in pro sports. And Sam, your business, I mean, obviously the roots of your business are planted in Philadelphia. Matt Marcus, talk about Healthbridge, your entire business, which is growing exponentially, is focused on Philadelphia and the region around it.
Yeah, so I grew up in Philadelphia, actually out in Montgomery County, right outside of the city. And my experience growing up in Philadelphia kind of comes down to one word, competition. A lot of cities that I go to, and people usually use New York as a very competitive town, and they say if you can make it there, you can make it anywhere. But I find that Philadelphia, especially in the scope of practice that we run, is extremely competitive. And when you're dealing with patient care and making sure you're trying to get the best outcome. I mean, patients can go anywhere they want, right? They can treat anywhere they want, depending on what their injuries are. There's amazing healthcare systems throughout the Philadelphia area. And our team and our focus has always been on just providing such a high level of patient care so that we know that everyone coming in and out of our office is going to get the best outcome possible.
And it's interesting. On a professional level, Brent, it seems like a lot of the athletes that come here stay here. And that started from the Philadelphia Flyers in the early Stanley Cup days. They all live in Jersey.
If they're not chased out of town, right?
Right. Listen, you know, here's the funny thing, though. I mean, you know, even athletes that come here for a couple years, they talk about that, Brent, how a lot of the individuals that play here, even if they get traded, end up often coming back.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's a little tough because this is all I know. But being in that locker room for 11 years and seeing guys come and go from other teams, and, you know, when they were in Philadelphia, how they talked about Philadelphia and how they didn't honestly want to play for any other team. You know, I could go down the list of players that were in Philadelphia and then went to other places and just said, listen, like, you know, you just don't feel the same energy, importance from the fans like you do in Philadelphia. So it's known throughout the NFL, you know. Is Philly a tough city to play for? Of course. But with that comes some of the greatest reward of all time, you know, being able to be a part of a Super Bowl winning team, like, and seeing how the city reacted to that, you know, I think it's probably a little bit different than winning the Super Bowl in another city. So I would just say that it's regarded around the league as one of the best cities to play in.
Hey, Chad, I had a question for you. And first, thanks a lot for coming on the Healthbridge Highlight Hour, as well as you, Sam Pond. Thanks for coming on the show. When you were drafted and got to Philadelphia, was it Chad Lewis who was kind of your mentor at that time?
Well, Chad was gone. So when I got to Philadelphia, it was L.J. Smith. And, you know, when I was a rookie, L.J. started having some injuries, you know, here and there. And so, you know, when he did get injured, I was able to go in and start. But I learned a lot from him. Matt Schobel was here as well, so I got to learn a lot from him. But really, you know, when I came to that locker room, I looked up to, you know, the Dawkins of the world, the Westbrook, McNabb. You know, I was playing with these guys on video games, and now I'm in the same locker room with them. And just to see how they work, you know, how they came to practice every single day, and seeing what players respect, you know. I think I learned through my time in Philadelphia that, you know, guys in that locker room, they respect one thing, and that's guys that go out and give everything they got. You know, guys that are quitting on their team. I don't care if you're the biggest superstar in the league, it does not last long because the team's going to turn on you. And so, you know, the good thing about Philadelphia is because the media is on you and the fans are on you 24/7, you know, I feel like, you know, there is a lot of guys that are giving it everything they've got. But, yeah, I would say just learn from the veterans that were there before me and trying to pick up some of the things that they were doing.
So having said that, Sam Pond, I'll segue to you. Talk about success. And I want to talk about that across the board because, you know, everybody, a lot of guys go to law school. A lot of guys go to medical school. You know, a lot of guys get the opportunity to try out, it's the NFL draft, and everybody looks similar on paper. What separates, you know, a good attorney from not only a great attorney, but an attorney and a law firm that can go to the next level?
Well, I think it's probably across the board, not only in our profession, but also in the medical field that where Matt's at, and in the professional sports field. We're all professionals. I think it starts with the understanding that you're a professional. And to be a professional, that's 24/7. I just left a meeting next door in the conference room next door, and we talk what it takes to work at Pondley Hockey. It's 24/7. You got to be all in. You know, we're representing people. You know, Matt's representing patients. Brett was representing the city and the team. But a lot of it starts with, I'm reading a book right now, When Pride Matters, and it's about Lombardi. And, you know, I'm sure that Brent can talk about it in you know, you talk about Brian Dawkins, who was a real leader on the field and led by example, and was also in it to win it. And when you hear his talk, his was backed up by his actions. But, you know, when Lombardi went to Green Bay from the Giants in 59, they were a horrible team. And in 1 year, basically with the same squad, he made them a winner to a 7-4 record. That had all about culture.
I was going to say
that's
culture.
All about leadership. That's all about everybody getting on and rowing the same direction. When you have a person that's negative, we can always take all the metaphors from athletics and competition in the locker room. We talk about chemistry. Chemistry is a real thing. And you know what? If we're going to waste energy worrying about a teammate or teammates that aren't in it to win it and all about the team and having everyone's back, that's just wasted energy. And by the way, you are not going to have all the energy to compete at the highest level. So consequently, get rid of the crap. Get rid of the negative people. Get people that are willing to believe in what your mission is and what your goals are. And when you have everyone to do that, and that takes a lot of hard leadership, man. That takes accountability. That takes hard discussions. You know, I always go back to leadership and the metaphor on the English seas. You've heard me a million times talk about it with Russell Crowe, and you know, in the great movie that he did as an English captain on a ship. You've got to make hard decisions about people, and you got to demand the best from them. And it's about leadership, it's about chemistry, it's about culture. And, you know, look, I can go back to 1966 when I went to Franklin Field, my first Eagles game. Well, the culture wasn't too good. The culture wasn't too good. And that generally starts from ownership, but it really starts from the head coach. And then it starts from a couple key players on the team. You know this. You know Pondley Hockey. You knew who we have on our team. And we're not but you got to be in it 24/7. And that's sacrificing a lot of things. That's sacrificing time with your wife. That's sacrificing time with your friends. That's sacrificing time with your family. That's sacrificing golfing. Whatever it takes to be number one and to win. But, you know, Matt said something very interesting about the competitiveness. You know what? Everyone that's on this show right now, we don't like to lose. Doesn't sit well with us. We want to win.
100%. I couldn't agree more. I mean, it's also about getting up at 4 a.m. every day, Saturdays and Sundays, sending emails, following up with your patients, making sure they got the proper diagnostic tests, making sure they're following their treatment plans, just following through with everything. I mean, on our team at Healthbridge, you know, it starts with the greeting when they walk through the door, the hello, the smile, right? Our whole front desk administration and all the people on the front lines, they are 100% part of the Healthbridge model. And then, of course, the doctors. You know, one of the things about good leaders are they're good listeners, right? So you can listen to your team. You listen to your staff. And you come up with a plan, and you're able to put your team in the best position to succeed. Even like playing football with Brent, you know, I'm sure he witnessed how certain players' skills parlayed into specific positions, specific plays, where they were able to execute at a higher level.
Well, it's interesting, Brent. At the NFL level, you get there, you're a rookie, and we're gonna take a minute, and then we're gonna go to a break, and we'll come back. But I want to talk about what separates success from mediocrity. Ironically, the NFL draft is upon us, and when you look at the thumbnails, and unless you're trained, you know, in that particular business, everybody looks the same on paper. What separates the men from the boys, and really the great ones, from the pretenders at that level? We're gonna go to a break right now, and Brent, if you would, let's talk about that when we come back. We're gonna have more from the Healthbridge Highlight Hour after the break.
Healthbridge was established over 30 years ago by compassionate chiropractic physicians who understand the physical limitations that come with aches and pains, trauma, and unforeseen motor vehicle accidents and work injuries. With 8 locations throughout Philadelphia, Montgomery, and Lehigh County, our team of doctors are experienced in evaluating and treating all musculoskeletal injuries. At Healthbridge, we provide chiropractic, therapeutic exercise, active release therapy, joint mobilization, core stabilization, work hardening, and numerous other individualized treatment plans so our patients feel stronger, better, and reinvigorated without pain or limitations. With over 750 five-star Google reviews, our team stays focused and consistent with each new and existing patient to guarantee the best possible result. Please visit our website at healthbridgechiro.com or call now to schedule an appointment, 833-422-4766, and experience why Healthbridge is the right choice for you. Comfort and Care is your home for prosthetics and orthotics throughout South Jersey and the greater Philadelphia area, serving the region for 45 years. And since 2015, faithfully serving patients from the new state-of-the-art facility in Magnolia, New Jersey. Comfort and Care knows there's more to prosthetics and orthotics than just equipment. They work with both you and your insurance provider to address all of your needs and custom craft the best solutions for you. All of their prosthetists and orthotists are board certified and licensed in both Pennsylvania and New Jersey, with many years of success stories and very satisfied patients. Contact them today, toll-free at 888-852-0181 to arrange for them to come see you, or visit them on the web at www.comfortcare.com for information on their modern state-of-the-art facility in Magnolia, New Jersey, and their other locations near you. Comfort and Care looks forward to serving your accessibility and mobility needs and helping you live a life without limitations. That's Comfort Care, K-O-M-F-O-R-T-K-A-R-E, toll free at 888-852-0181, online at comfortcare.com.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Healthbridge Highlight Hour. We've got a fantastic broadcast. We're sponsored by Healthbridge Chiropractic. In the studio with us is Matt Marcus, Dr. Matt Marcus, who's the managing partner at Healthbridge, and Sam Pond, managing partner at Pond LaHockey, and, of course, longtime Philadelphia Eagle Brent Celek. Joe Krause is producing us. And, Brent, if you would, let's go back to that question. When you get to the NFL, you were fifth-round draft choice. And at that point, I'm sure there were plenty of other tight ends drafted in the second, third, maybe first, or fourth rounds that lasted a year, if that. Talk about what separates those who make it and those who don't, particularly at that level.
Well, I think, you know, a lot of that Sam talked about, Matt talked about, but, you know, at the NFL level, I think it comes down to mentality, man. You know, there's so many people that have the ability. Listen, I was in high school with some kids that probably should have been able to make it to the NFL, or a bunch of guys in college that could have potentially been able to make it to the NFL. But I think it's mindset. How bad do you want it? You know, you listen to Tom Brady talk, and at the age he's at, the guy's still got a chip on his shoulder. He's finding things that are still motivating him to get up every single morning and to work harder than, you know, any other quarterback in the NFL. And to me, you know, if you can, before the draft, you can talk to guys and you can figure that stuff out with players, then, you know, you could be really successful in picking an NFL team. I think that's obviously a lot harder to do because there's so many factors. You know, there's so many times where you got a guy who, he does have the mentality, he's got the physical skill set, and then he gets millions of dollars and it changes his mindset. You know, how can you find those guys that once they get paid $1 million are still working like they're broke? They're hard to find. So, you know, it's a lot harder than most people think. But those guys are out there, and, you know, over time they prove themselves in the NFL. And, you know, those are the guys that I look up to. I'm still amazed by what Tom Brady is doing. And other guys that are older in the NFL that continue to have that young spirit and that chip on their shoulder that, listen, I was just a 6th round draft pick. You know, when I personally was coming out, you know, I was a 5th round draft pick, but I remember when the Jacksonville Jaguars came up to Cincinnati and they talked to me and they said, listen, we don't think you can be a tight end in the NFL. You know, we think you could be a long snapper though. So we're really interested in you as a long snapper. And like that day moving forward, man, just something changed inside of me. I was like, man, you guys don't know me. You guys have no clue who I am. And it was burning inside of me. Every single morning when I woke up, I look in the mirror like, I can't believe there's somebody out there that believes I can't play in the NFL. And, you know, I just wanted to prove everybody wrong. So
it reminds me a little of the Richie Gannon story. Richie played in the Catholic League at St. Joe's Prep, and he actually was a junior when I was a senior. He was a great athlete then, but he went to Delaware. He went to a small school. He's at a 1AA school, and I believe New England drafted him. And he had the gumption, because they wanted to make him a wide receiver, to call Leo Carlin, who I think was the equipment. His son went to prep with him and say, I don't want to play here. I don't want to play wide receiver. And I think he actually, before taking an NFL snap or even going into, you know, training camp, laid it all out on the line and said, these guys are underestimating me. And he went to the Vikings, and then, of course, he went to the Super Bowl with the Raiders. So the mindset is you know, it makes a lot of sense. And like you said, I think that's really important, playing like you're broke. You have them, you know, you get the big contract and playing like you're broke. Sam, talk about that aha moment when you realized, as a firm owner, because I say it all the time, we do a lot of radio together. We've done 100 shows together, and what blows my mind is, I've known work comp attorneys, other attorneys, that still in that, and God bless them, but they're still in the same two-room office they were 15 years ago. And yet, there had to be a point in your career where you said, you know, you see the forest through the trees. Talk about that.
Well, I think, first of all, that if anyone's going to listen to the show, you should probably rewind and listen to what you just said, but also what Brent just said, because if you want to improve yourself and get at a high level or a higher level, you ought to listen to some of the things that Brent said, and that is, you know, coming to whatever you're doing with a chip on your shoulder, being hungry, and having a mindset. And if the mindset is that I need to continue to for whatever psychological reason, that's, you know, I'm 63 years old and I'm still hungry, and I keep on telling my team I'm hungry, and I see Nick Rose smiling across the table. You know, and Tom Brady's still got a chip on his shoulder because he still has to prove something to himself or someone else, or, you know, he's hungry. And, you know, you've got to have, again, we talk about Joe, and I'll get to your question, but I think it's very important what was just said, and I'm going to reemphasize it. Mindset, we talked about it last week in my team, and I said to someone, I got all this stuff. I said, you have to make a mindset change. First of all, put things in perspective, man. You're young and healthy. You know, you got a sunny day. You got a great job. You're a professional. You got a law degree. You know, get in the game. When you get, it's going to be a lot of preparation. But, you know, when you're in the game, you're doing something that allows you to live in the moment and make a difference. Like, get a mindset. Get your head wrapped up into this in the right way. It's like when I was a little kid, 5 years old, your dad said, all right, now it's time to have some chores, clean a toilet. But by the way, clean that toilet. Not your head in the toilet, but get your, and maybe my head got in the toilet a couple times because how bad of a kid I was. But the bottom line is wrap your head around it, you know, and, you know, get into it. But, you know what, if you're not going to show up and be focused on it, it's a problem. The aha moment, Joe, quite frankly, for me, and I talked about it with John Dooley last night, is, you know, the aha moment was at, 4 years old, 3 years old. I just always, getting back together with the guys from the neighborhood that I get together with every 3 or 4 months, you know, how did you do it? To me, this is just I'm where I was supposed to be. This is not, Nick Rose is shaking his head. I'm not sitting in this office, very nice office, but I'm sitting in this office. This is not something that I'm sitting around saying I wasn't supposed to manifest itself. I was expecting this to happen. I believed that this would happen. So, again, Brent probably believed that he was going to be, and he did. If he didn't believe he was going to play in the NFL at 4 years old or 2 years old, he would have probably not played in the NFL. But he knew he was going to eventually becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy.
No question. Having said that,
exactly.
Risking it all, okay, going across the middle when you know who's waiting for you out there, there are some guys that they know, they hear them footsteps. Same when you own a medical practice or a law firm, when you're going to risk it all.
But again, Joe, it's a badge of honor, and Brent's going to answer this because I didn't go across the middle except for on the street. But the bottom line is he's going to answer it, but for him, that's a badge of honor. That's a badge of honor if he can do that.
Talk about that, Brent.
Yeah, I mean, it's not an easy thing to do, but when you're on a football team, that guy next to you is counting on it, and that guy has a job to do, and I have a job to do, and I want to do it to the best of my ability, because I don't want to let that man down next to me. And so going across the middle and taking a hit, I think you've got to love the game in order to do that. But for me, it was always just not letting that man down next to me, because we had worked so hard in the off season, so hard during the season. Me getting alligator arms here right now, like, that's not me doing my job. That's not me helping this team. So for me, that was easy. And I love the physicality of the game. It's why growing up, I loved football. So that type of stuff, it just came natural to me.
Talk about, Sam Pond, you just talked about making a difference. And I know everybody on this broadcast, Matt Marcus, our whole, one of our last broadcasts with Connor Barwin and one of your other associates, you talked about how important it is to give back. Sam Pond, I know it's a massive part of what you do, and Brent, you as well. Matt, you start off and talk about making a difference in the community and what a big part of what you do every day that is.
Yeah, and just to talk on the topic that Sam talked about is, you know, it's like a mentality, right? We're always thinking that I carry this around. Someone is going to be ahead of me. Someone is going to take something away from me. So I'm always constantly striving to do better, to go further, to do more. And, you know, I think that's where the success lies with Brent, Sam, and other professionals that are at the top of their game. It's this mentality, like Brent said, when you look in the mirror one morning and someone says you're going to be a long snapper in the NFL or you're just a chiropractor. You have no place here. I mean, we just opened an office in Mainline Health at Lankinol Medical Center, and we're looking to open up more offices over the next 24 months in multiple healthcare systems. 10 years ago, If I approached the president of a healthcare system and I told him what my vision was and how chiropractic care and conservative care can be integrated to help people, they were throwing me out of the office. So, you know, it's just that mentality that Brent's talked about, what Sam said. But as far as the community, you know, as we've grown our practices and as I've stayed focused on the business end of things and helping patients, one of the challenges I've always had is I get this extreme focus, this tunnel vision of my goals, and I just can't be stopped. But as I started treating more and more patients through Philadelphia in different neighborhoods and seeing the socioeconomic differences that my patients live in and the different neighborhoods, I've been able to really dig a little deeper into myself and reflect on the blessings I have. Like Sam said, it's like you're a professional. It's a sunny day. You're healthy. Get out there and work hard. Do something meaningful for yourself, for your patients, and for the community. And when I met Connor, I think it was probably 7 years ago when he started to make the world better, I felt so drawn to what that mission was. And because I have practices throughout Philadelphia, we are treating a lot of these patients that are living in the neighborhoods where we're building parks and recreation space for them. And the difference we're making in their lives is monumental. You don't, sometimes you take for granted what you have, but when you go to these neighborhoods and you see these parks that are full of trash and they're overgrown in weeds and there's drugs and there's poor activity going on. And, you know, we Connor and myself and Jeff Tubbs and even Brent's been a big part of, you know, coming to the Healthbridge events with Make the World Better. We've raised over $500,000. Sam and the whole Pond Lehocky team have contributed financially to this goal. And to me, what we do in the community is part of Healthbridge, and we're not going to stop reinvesting in Philadelphia. I'm from Philadelphia. We're going to keep giving back in the neighborhoods and where we treat our patients, and we're fully committed to that. And that has been one of the most rewarding journeys that I've had through my professional career.
And it's a common denominator with everybody on this broadcast. Brent, talk about what an important part giving back to the community and making a difference in the lives of those people that are less fortunate. What a big part of that is in your life.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's something that, you know, anyone that's in my position should do. You know, this city has given me everything that I have today. I'm sitting in a beautiful house right now, which, you know, I feel like I've earned it, but there's a lot of people out there that spend a lot of money on tickets and watching me on TV, and I appreciate it. And for me, giving back, you know, I actually started my own charity a while ago, probably like my third year in the NFL. And as I was doing, I was probably giving like 5% of my time to it. And then I saw what Connor was doing with MTWB. And I was like, you know what I'm doing over here, yeah, I feel like I can help make a bigger difference by helping other people who are spending more time on making their foundations great. And I really love what MTWB is doing, and any way that I can help them, I will do, because I think they are making a difference in communities. And for me, I'm in real estate now. I love real estate. I'm going to do real estate till I die. And to see the change that they are making in communities, I think is, you know, foundational for what we need in our cities. So I'm happy to help anytime I can. And that's not just with MTWB. That's with any other charity that, you know, some of my former teammates are supporting, or any Eagles charities. I'm happy to support them as well.
Sam Pond, the big part of the culture here is giving back. Talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, we have the Pond Lehocky community, and I think that we've done some good work, and I think we could do more. And you know, I think for me, one of the issues that I face personally is that I should probably give more of my time and energy at the ground level in regard to our city and what our citizens need. We deal with a lot in our charity in regard to symptoms. We help hunger issues and child issues. And it's somewhat treating the symptoms as opposed to addressing the cause. I think we've got to start getting into really what are the causes of the symptoms in regard to our society. You know, why isn't there opportunity? Why is there a certain mindset of anyone? And, you know, I guess the feather on my cap as a young man that just walked by Michael Mack when I first met him at Philadelphia Futures is at 25th and Master. And that was probably more of that, more of getting into the neighborhoods and talking to people. And you know, somewhere along the line, Matt and Brent said when he wanted to go to the NFL and he knew it was going to be there, someone instilled in him a belief. I mean, to a certain extent, he probably came out that way. But also there was someone in his life, his mom, his dad, whomever, really instilled him in a belief to be able to live this dream and to have it come true. And we need more of that, you know, because when I was in my household, I always was told that, you know, I was a good person and that I had a lot of talents and I had a responsibility to do the best with those talents. We need messaging and we need people at a very young age to believe that they can live the American dream, that they can be different, that they can be happy, that they can be healthy. And we need to go right to the cause of the issue with our humanity, our people, to inspire them to have aspirations about their lives. That it's not a fait accompli that you're not going to have a happy life or you're not going to live the American dream and you're not going to be like Brent and get now into real estate after a successful professional career that you could hear in his voice he loves, or to Matt Marcus to still have dreams about opening a number of facilities in the next 24 months. We need people to believe that their dreams will come true.
I think a lot of that starts also with great parents and having that opportunity to instill that in you. Brent?
Yeah, I agree with that. And, you know, to what Sam was saying, you know, my grandfather was that in my life. You know, sometimes I felt like my parents didn't believe in me. And I, looking back, I know my parents did believe in me, but they were just being realistic. But my grandfather was always there for me and believed in me. And to Sam's other point, you know, I personally can do better at getting back out there and helping some of these young kids, because some of these young kids don't have parents that are in their ear. Some of these kids don't have anybody, and they don't understand that it is a mindset and that you can be whatever you want in your life. I tell my kids every day, my kids are 5'3" and 2", and I tell them every single day, you can be whatever you want in this life, anything. You put your mind to it and you work hard enough, you can do it. And so I think me out here in Westchester can probably start getting out into the community more and start talking to these young kids and instilling in them, you know, the fact that they can be whatever they want to be. And whether your parents say you can or can't, I don't really care. You know, you can. You can.
You 100%, Brent. I have a question for you and also for Sam. I'm curious, and you mentioned your grandfather. What other role models did you have? I always find this interesting in your life, whether it be teachers, coaches, friends. You mentioned your grandfather. I'm just curious, what other role models did you have to get you, to push you, to believe in what you were going to become in the NFL and even as a father and a husband and now moving into the next chapter in your life as a real estate entrepreneur? What role models and who were they and what effects did they have on you?
Yeah, my grandfather was huge on me. Everything that he taught me and more just believing. Number two, my parents. My parents growing up, they owned hair salons, and it was actually my mom who, you know, would run the day to day. I had a stay at home dad. I still make fun of him about that every day. But I learned so much from my mom, the leader that my mom was. My mom had 120 women that were working for her. And so there was a lot of drama that would happen. And she would come home and sit at the dinner table and just talk about some of the issues that she was having at work and then how she was going to fix them. And so I got to learn at a young age, like, okay, this is how you be a leader in front of multiple people. So I was around that. Then you talk about my coaches, you know, Mark D'Antonio, who was coach at Cincinnati and then at Michigan State for a long time. I mean, great, great coach, great leader, you know, great father figure outside of my house. And then to be around Andy Reid,
you know, who in my opinion was another great, great coach, great leader. And to learn from those guys, to be able to sit in their meetings and listen to them, you know, every single day, and then to see guys screw up and see how the coach reacts to that. And then, you know, what that does to the player, and then how the coaches, you know, change how they're talking to certain guys, like seeing all of those experiences, I could go on and on. You know, those have molded me into who I am today. And I take as much as I can from any meeting, any conversation that I have with somebody, but I was very lucky at a young age to be around people that, that really got it. And then to have coaches along the way, you know, I was just lucky from that standpoint. And to be honest, I did everything in my power to take advantage of it, and I knew I was lucky.
Yeah, that makes sense. How about you, Sam?
Yeah, I mean, it's and I think Brent again has hit on something, because we were blessed and lucky to have those folks in our life, and we it's when I see people judge some people that didn't have any kind of role model or someone that believed in them, it's very difficult to say. And when they overcome that, they should really be applauded. It's rare, but for me, it was clearly my mom and dad. And you know, you can also talk about the fabric of the neighborhood and the coaches that I had. I can tell you, Emil Blay was a master sergeant in World War II, was my first soccer coach, never called me by my first name. His style was in a certain way. Then I had Pat White, who was a great listener. Then I had Frank Avato. We won a city championship. John Quinn at Notre Dame. You know, those guys were also, but the people in the neighborhood. But clearly my mom and dad had this sense of toughness, this sense of, as showed me how to be around people, showed me about fairness and honesty, hard work, the American dream. The American dream was not an ideal, not only an ideal, but a reality that could be lived. I had a great combination, because my mother was as tough as nails, hardworking, smart. But I also had a father who was very intellectual, who had read everything. And they were both different parties, political parties. So I sat there and listened to these two different points of view, one more leftist, the one more right hardcore. And it was a great combination for me. And I learned to read everything. And I still do that. Everything. Immerse yourself in reading. You have an obligation as a citizen to understand issues. Be a citizen. Be involved. Understand the political landscape. Do not be an ignoramus. You know, ignorance is a great beast. Common sense is very uncommon, especially in this day and age. But then we have dishonesty in our discourse. It's just as bad as ignorance. All those kind of basic things were very much driven into me. Along with, you know, I talked about it last night. I got tagged when I was early on and I think all of us at this table, if we did what I do, I was tagged as a cerebral bludgeon. And what that means is I had to have some brain in my head, but when I litigated, I was going to bludgeon you to death. Just like when Brent was going to block for someone or go out and run a route, he was going to bludgeon his opponent. And when we're in a competitive space with some common sense and some brain and some belief, but instilled in us by our parents, and I got that. I got lucky.
Yeah, it's interesting, Sam. You said, you know, there's a lot that you and Brent talked, you know, you touched on a lot of things. You talk about the role models, Matt. Brent, I'm going to go to you. You're a parent now. And Sam, you and I have talked about how important, you know, paying it forward to your son. Those lessons that were taught to you. Brent, you know, everything you've gone through with your grandfather and the individuals and role models that came your way, how has it affected and made a difference in yourself being a parent?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's probably why I'm not in football today. You know, I love football. And one day I'll get back into it. But I knew when I had my first daughter that if I want to be a good father, I'm going to have to be present and spend time. You know, there's so many times where I get home, you know, 4 o'clock, which I'm lucky to be able to get home 4 or 5 o'clock. And then, you know, I hear my kids bickering with my wife and, you know, it's not easy for her to just deal with them. And so to have another parent there to,
by the way,
help
Brent,
discipline them.
Brent, that's not going to stop anytime soon. Just to let you know that, just, you know, you being there just gives her another voice, but go ahead.
Yeah. But to be there, to be on her side, to show that we're one team and, you know, listen, kids, you got to listen to us and we're going to teach you the right way. We're going to love you. we're going to be there for you. Similar to what my parents did for me. You know, I had a stay-at-home father who cooked me breakfast every single morning before I went to school. That meant a lot to me. It still means a lot to me. And, you know, I just want to pay that stuff forward. And that's really what it comes down to is, you know, taking those things that you learned from your parents and trying to become a little bit better and pay that forward to your own kids.
Matt Marcus?
Yeah, and it's so valuable, Brent. I have two daughters, Livia and Ava, 14 and 10, and my 14-year-old has gotten into volleyball now. And this year was really interesting between the travel volleyball schedule, and I talked to a bunch of friends of mine, and, you know, going up to Harrisburg for a weekend, and, you know, you're in these tournaments all weekend, and you're giving them the experiences that my mother and father gave me. You know, growing up, I played three sports, football, basketball, and baseball all year long, traveling here and there. And there was, you know, it was me plus three. It was four of us kids in the house. And just to see my father wake up every day at 4:35, drive an hour to work in a supermarket, work from, let's say, 7 in the morning. He'd get home by 7, 8 at night. The only time I would see him was when I was 9, 10, he'd take me to work. So I'd work Saturdays and Sundays with him in the supermarket. So that's what I did to spend time with my father. And I would watch how he would treat his employees, how he grew his business. And, you know, we would get there, and we spoke about this a couple shows ago. You know, he'd wake me up at 5 in the morning. I'd be exhausted. You know, I'm 9 years old. We'd get to the store, and there'd be thousands of pounds of produce and meat outside. And he said, "Son, I need you to take all that meat and produce, lift it, and bring it in the freezer." So, I mean, I would work all day long, and I'd get in the car at 7. Within 2 minutes, I'd be asleep. He'd still have to drive an hour home, and he'd pick me up, and he'd put me in my bed. I don't even remember getting home, Sam. And that's kind of how my childhood was. And again, you talk about role models. My mother, and she was there for all four of us all the time. And, you know, I had a wonderful childhood. And Sam talked about it. I was blessed with two parents who loved me, who showed me the way, showed me what core values were like, gave me a lot of love, a lot of lessons, a lot of hard love, too, at times, you know. You know, when you get out of line, they were not afraid to put me right back in line. And I think as a parent, that has become one of the most difficult things, is saying no and telling my daughters, this is not the right way, and grabbing that phone and saying, you're not seeing this for the next 7 days. You understand why? And teaching them lessons, right? That has become one of the most challenging things as a father, to instill those values in my daughters. But it's very, very, very important to do that. They don't realize it, but it's harder on me than them.
Yeah, it's interesting, Sam. We've talked about you and your son, your relationship, and, you know, talk about that, because it's a big part of, you know, what you do on a daily basis. I've never, you know, you're so proud of your firm, but I've never seen you sparkle more than when you talk about Dylan and the things that he's doing.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, parenting is a big responsibility, and listening to Brett and Matt talk about their parents and what they learned and what Brett said to do it a little bit better, and it's the next generation. You know, this is, you're creating a citizen of the country and the globe. And you really have to be doing a good job of instilling them in values of being a good human being. That's your responsibility. That's your duty. There's no higher calling than that. And you've got to do it with saying no once in a while, firmness, but a lot of love. You know, I happen to only have one child, and it's a boy. And what my philosophy was, I always looked back at my life at his age. And so it gave me a certain sense of tolerance and understanding. Oh, you're doing that at 12? I probably did worse than that. But so I was always having an open mind. And, you know, Nick Rose is here, and Nick has spent a lot of time with my son. You know, he's an interesting guy. He's, thank God, you know, he had the opportunity of not only going and getting a great education, but also, you know, still having the Philadelphia neighborhood thing going on. And he fought in, you know, despite going out to the Haverford school he went, where he pole vaulted and played sports, yada, yada. But also going into a Philadelphia gym, you know, and understanding and developing that Philadelphia, authentic Philadelphia philosophy about humility, respect, hard work, tanging your lumps, having it back. You know, maybe it's not an appropriate word, but, you know, there's something to be said about having a fraternity. You know, Brent talks about the guys in the locker room. We talk about our team, but that fraternity that's, and I'm using it in a masculine way, but that team concept. And, you know, Dylan's been in L.A. for a number of years, traveled into, I think, now 70 countries or 80 countries. But he always comes back to Philadelphia. And you wouldn't run into he comes back with his grandfather, who's 86, who had a bar at Belgrade and Clearfield.
He's a grounded guy.
Right. He goes and talks to him with all the union leaders. And the first thing they start talking about are the Eagles. And then they go to the Sixers. And then they go to the Phillies and they go to the Flyers. So that gets covered immediately. So all in all, it's all about the Philly culture. And I pick them up on the red eye from L.A., and the first place we go is to get a cheesesteak at 5:30 in the morning.
You know, it's interesting. That's pure Philly. We've talked a lot of, obviously, the overtones of sports. And whether you're, in, you know, make it to the NFL.
Can I just, I'm sorry to interrupt sure, you, Joe.
I don't think you're really that sorry.
I'm really not. Thank you. We talked about being honest. I'm sorry. I was being polite.
Yeah, you're pushing it.
But let's not lose track of the one person I didn't mention in regard to my son, his mother.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right? So, you know, his mother.
Particularly because she's going to be listening to this broadcast.
My first grade sweetheart. So same from the same Philadelphia neighborhood, four blocks away. But, you know, it takes two sometimes. And,
absolutely,
you know, we don't underestimate the role of mom, that's for sure.
Having said that, and I'm just going to touch on this, the fact that, you know.
Now I won't get in trouble.
Right, exactly. You're gold now. I see you, Joe. I see you. But having said that, sports, you know, you have a lot of employees. Okay, Matt, you do. And we've talked, you know, obviously we've talked NFL football. We got to those people who've played sports, who understand that team concept, you know, the camaraderie, the solidarity. You can tell the difference, with employees and individuals who've had that opportunity as compared to some who haven't had that opportunity.
Joe, we talk about, and I'll let Matt get on because I'm monopolizing the time. We talk about it. How do you think Brent feels when he gets a good block? How do you think Matt goes in when he steps in and helps someone else that is, you know, goes to talk to their front desk and doing, you know, I pick up for you. I get joy out of that. If you're not getting joy out of that, then get out of the brotherhood. You're not part of it. You don't like that. Don't do it. Get joy out of helping your teammate.
Absolutely.
So, agreed.
Well, you know, we have 2 minutes. 2 minutes left. And Brent, I know you're in a new field. If you would, you know, you have the new real estate business. Give a little shout out there, if you would.
Yeah, I mean, I started Brent Oak Real Estate as a brokerage based in Media. We can help people buy or sell homes in Philadelphia area. And, you know, that's kind of the engine for my real estate business. I just got that up and running this year. We'll probably do $50 million in sales in our first year. So things are going great. But, you know, I have a lot of aspirations in real estate. And, you know, this brokerage is the engine for that.
That's awesome.
I love it.
That's fantastic. It sure does help to win that Super Bowl, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah. I mean, listen, that was a dream come true. We had a special team then.
Absolutely. Matt,
one of the greatest
moments in the history of Philadelphia. It's a whole nother show, man.
It was the most amazing thing ever. And I was at the Super Bowl. I think Sam was down.
Also.
But, you know, it was just one of the most, besides marrying my wife and having my two children, it was one of the best days of my life.
Well, Brent, here's what my son, how Philly he is. In fact, we ran into Westbrook, and we have a picture and Freddie Mitchell there. But my son was flown out on Sheldon Adelson's 747. It was his son is my son's frat brother, out of Vegas, and they were going to go into the Kraft box because Kraft and Adelson are buddies now. Adelson's dead. And my son said, well, if I have to sit there, I appreciate the offer to go and fly into set, but I'm not sitting there. And
he sat
by himself and then dislocated his kneecap, which he didn't give a care about. But it was, I'm not going near the Kraft family, that's for sure.
Yeah, especially on that day. My wife, she had Tom Brady's diet. You know, he had his diet. That week, it was out of the house. I said, We are not. We're not that this week. There's no whatever you call it.
Thanks for that memory, Brent, and thanks for bringing that championship home to us since 1960. That was really a special moment that I think that all of us in Philadelphia just consider priceless, and we can really never replace that.
Well, thank you. Thank you for the kind words, and hey, it was one of the greatest moments of my life.
Absolutely. Yeah. It was a great moment in Philadelphia history. Well, listen, we're coming to the end. I want to thank all of our guests, Brent Selleck, longtime Philadelphia Eagle, Brent Selleck Real Estate now, Matt Marcus, Managing Partner, HealthBridge Chiropractic, and, of course, Sam Pond, Managing Partner of Pond Lahockey, and, of course, our producer, Joe Kraus, who, by the way, was a young man at that 1960 Eagles championship game. What were you, like 35, Joe, at the time? Just kidding. But he's not on mic, so. I want to thank everybody for tuning in.
Thanks,
and I want
Joe.
To thank HealthBridge Chiropractic for sponsoring. You've listened to the HealthBridge Highlight Hour. I'm Joe Dougherty. Thanks for listening.